Good morning.
Morning.
It is a great morning, having the showers of blessing outside, which is great. Now, if you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4. And while you're turning to that place in your Bible, I want to challenge you this morning before we get to the lesson. And, you know, this is harvest time, usually in Wisconsin. And I think of a verse that's found in the book of Haggai 2 and verse 19. You need not turn to it unless you like, but you ought to mark it probably in your Bible. Haggai 2 and verse 19 says, "Is the seed yet in the barn? Is the seed yet in the barn?" And the Bible tells us the seed is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And it's so easy for us to go to a church like this one and believe the truth of the Word of God. But what value is the seed if it's still in the barn? We got to get it out of the barn. And we got to sow it and then water it and so on. And then we'll see the increase. And that's a tremendous challenge to me as we travel the length and breadth of this country. And that is to get the seed out of the barn. And I think it's so easy for us as Christians to be content the way things are, which ought not to be true. And so I challenge you today to get the seed out of the barn. That is, take a gospel tract and give it to somebody and witness to somebody, call somebody and invite them. And when I think of a gospel tract, I think of being in South America. And when we're in South America, we ride a train to the next meeting, and the missionary would open the window and throw tracts out. And I said, "What are you throwing these tracts out for?" He said, "Just watch." An individual would run and pick up those tracts and read them. And then he would contact them later. And Bible studies were set up in their home. Amen. As a fantastic way to get out the gospel. In fact, I have an article that I keep usually in my Bible about a missionary in India. And I stayed in a motel last week in New Britain, Connecticut, and that was operated by people from India. And I thought of it this Indian Hindu picked up a gospel tract. As a result of that gospel tract, was saved, was born again, and as a result of it, his sons were saved, and they've started several churches there in India as a result of a gospel tract. Getting the seed out of the barn. And that's what we need to do. Get that seed out of the barn and sow it. And I know this is a great, great church. And you've heard that many times probably before. But what a blessing, actually, to serve the Lord and live for Him. Now, for the lesson this morning, very, very familiar passage of Scripture, John chapter 4. The Gospel of John chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading with verse number 6. Verse number 6. I don't see any clocks in this auditorium, but the pastor said I ought to quit about 20 after. So I reckon there'll be some bells that'll ring or whatnot. Tell me it's time to quit. Maybe. All right, John chapter 4. Look at it. Verse number 6. "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary of his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. For whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall never shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith to him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, we're going to look at several other verses in this chapter, here in the John chapter 4. But we face a challenge. I like to face a challenge. And I trust you here in Sunday school this morning, I like to face a challenge. And the tremendous challenge, I jotted it in my notes here, and it's hard for me to believe this, but nonetheless, I read it and recorded it. One half of all people born since the beginning of recorded history that live to the age of 5 are alive today. Now, let me say that again so it kind of registers a little bit in our mind as we think of a child. One half of all people born since the beginning of recorded history that live to the age of 5 are alive today. Are alive today. Now, isn't that tremendous? That's overwhelming. It's overwhelming when we think of it. So when I think of that, I think of this passage of Scripture, and I want to share with you this morning 4 words that start with P. If you have an outline, want to make an outline, you can jot it down. 4 words that start with P. And the first word that I'm going to use, and you're not going to find the word as such here in the text, but it's an impossible picture. There's an impossible picture that's presented here in this in the Word of God. Now, as we think of the impossible picture, in John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white, all ready to harvest." Now, here, the Lord says, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields." That's plural. It's plural. Now, as we look at the fields, in Matthew 13, and verse 38, Jesus said, "The field is the world." The field is the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, as we look at the world this morning, and I'm just going to paint this picture just a little bit in the beginning of our lesson this morning, as we think about an impossible picture. We think of the world this morning, and there are 7 billion people in the world. The population of the world increases 220,000 every 24 hours. 80 million people a year. They say the population of the world is going to double in the next 39 years. Now think of that. The field is the world. Now this is a great, great church and a great missionary church. But how are we going to reach the world with the gospel? How's that possible? We support missionaries. We support missionaries, but that's an impossible task. It really is impossible because we're losing out. When you think of the field being the world, there are 375,000 people that are born every day. 159,000 people die every day. So every year, 55 million people pass from this earth. So in order to keep up, we'd have to reach 220,000 people every 24 hours. That's not possible, is it? It's not possible. So it's an impossible picture. Impossible picture. And the Bible simply tells us that one soul is worth more than the entire world. So we see the impossible of the world. The field is the world. Then we come down to the area in which we live. The area in which we live. And the Bible simply tells us concerning this area. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, "We're to be witnesses in Jerusalem and then to the ends of the world." We're to be witnesses in Jerusalem. And this is your Jerusalem, this area. And many times we think of the impossibility of that. I was in Sydney, Montana in a meeting. Sydney in North Dakota in a meeting, and I never met the pastor before. And as we were about to start a week of meetings, he said, "I don't know how many people I can expect to come to the services." He said, "We had 100 and some people out last Sunday," and he said, "I asked, how many of you folk will come to the evangelistic services?" And he said, 18 people out of 100 raised their hand that they would come. So he said, "I don't know what to expect because these people are impossible, impossible, impossible to reach." I said, well, praise the Lord, we're here. And we'll just preach the Word of God, give forth the truth, and so on from the Word of God. And we had meetings every night that week. And every night that week, there were over 100 people in attendance, and we saw decisions for the Lord. You see, many times we think of our area as being impossible. No. The impossible picture that we have in the world in which we live. And if we're not careful as Christians, we succumb to that idea. You can't reach that neighbor. We can't reach that person. We can't reach, yes, God is a God of the impossible. And so we think of the impossible picture. It's been my privilege to be on many mission fields of the world. And I think of being in Seoul, Korea. 8 million people in Seoul. And I thought, what in the world am I doing there? I can't speak one word of Korean, not one word. And yet I was invited to be there and hold a meeting. It was impossible. It looked impossible to me. So the impossible picture is easy for us to present. Now, the second P that I want you to see, and I'll spend more time on this P, I want you to see an unlikely person. An unlikely person. Because look what it says here in verse number 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it's about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and saith unto her, Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now here's just a woman. There cometh a woman of Samaria. Here is Jesus on the well. He's weary. The disciples have gone to town to buy food, but he stays. And there comes a woman, and as you look at this woman, it presents to us an unlikely person. Now, what do I mean by that? There comes a woman, and this dear woman came to the well to draw water. And usually they come in the morning to draw water. And she came to draw the water, and she's a Samaritan. Now, what does that mean? The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And the Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews whatsoever. But even beyond that, she was a sinner. So are we. So are we. And you see that in verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, go call my husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. I don't have a husband. Now, what does it say further? It says, Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And the woman she was living with, the man she was living with, she was not married to. Now you look at this picture, and I relate to this picture because the world in which we live, we see people like this. Here's a dear woman that had been married five times and was living with a man who was not her husband. Now let me ask you this morning to wake you up a little bit. If you speak loud enough, I'll be able to hear you. Why do you suppose this woman had been married five times? Have any idea? Any idea why she'd been married five times? Are you awake? Why? Why had she been married five times? Okay. Somebody might say, well, maybe they all died.
Well, she could have lost one
at a time. They all died.
But she had no moral value if she was five times and still living with one unmarried.
Okay. Why had this woman been married five times? What?
She's seeking something.
All right. That's good. Now, maybe you heard what this dear lady said. She's looking for something. She's looking for something. She married number one. Number one, looking for something. not just a physical relationship, but looking for something and did not find it. So she married the second, hoping to find it. Married the third, hoping to find it. Married the fourth, hoping to find it. Married the fifth, hoping to find it. And then she said, why get married? I'll live with a fellow, and if I find what I'm looking for, then I'll get married. Have you ever heard anybody say that today? That's the attitude today. Now, the reason I can say that's true, because she said, sir, would you give me this water that I thirst not? She was thirsty. There was a desire inside to satisfy that need inside. Now, as we think about this morning and are challenged by it, I mean, here's a dear lady, married five times, and a likely person. Now, what do we do with people like that when they come to church? What do you do with people like that when you knock on a door and meet people like that? What do you do with people like that? What is our attitude towards people like that? What is our attitude? It's like I was in California recently and calling on a dear lady that was sitting on the front porch crying, on the front step crying. And as I began to talk to this dear lady, I found out that this dear woman sitting on the front steps of her house, sitting there, had five children with five different men. Now, what are you going to do with a person like that? Here's what we did. We showed her from the scripture there's somebody that loved her. And she could get saved and be forgiven. But it's an impossible task that she's going to have to face even after she's saved. Because there's five men are going to have contact with the five kids. That's an impossible situation. And dear friend, it's wonderful that we have a message of the truth and the message of the gospel. But listen, here's a dear lady, it's a sinner, and she came to the well, and here is Jesus at the well, and so on. But know something else, she was religious. This lady was religious. Look at what it says in verse number 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. She came from a religious home. Even to go further than that in the scripture, we notice in verse number 25, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah cometh. She looked forward to the Messiah, which is called Christ. And when he's come, he'll tell us all things. So she was looking for somebody that would meet the need of her heart. Coming from a religious home. Wanted to meet somebody. But oh, listen, she drank of the water. Drank of the water to satisfy that inner thirst and to be born of the Spirit of God. So it's so easy for us to see that which is impossible. It's so easy for us to think of that which is unlikely. But the third P, I want you to see the indisputable program. I want you to see the challenge that God is going to give the disciples here in this passage of Scripture. The challenge. Look at it. Drop down to verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already unto harvest. Lord said to these disciples, and we'll deal with it in a minute, he said, lift up your eyes and look. Look on the fields that are white, all ready to harvest. I could take you back to Seoul, Korea again. We were there and had a fantastic meeting there in Seoul. But every morning at 6 o'clock, they had a prayer meeting. Those Koreans believe in praying at 6 o'clock in the morning. Only one bicycle outside in a city of 8 million people. Everybody walked. The place was filled with people, and the missionary stood up in front, pastor stood up in front with a blackboard, and he asked the people, who would you like to have saved at these meetings? They wrote on that board, I suppose a dozen or 15 names. Then they got down on their knees and prayed. They lifted up their eyes in a city of 8 million people and selected 12, 15, 18 names, wrote them on that board, got on their knees and prayed and wept I couldn't understand what they were saying, but they were praying and weeping. When the service came and that building was packed with Koreans, and I had to preach by an interpreter, and I usually preach 35 minutes or so, and so the interpreter would preach 35 minutes or so, and so that's the length of the message, and I gave the invitation, and folk came down that aisle and were dealt with personally by Koreans, and after the service was over, that song leader, Korean song leader, came to me and with tears running down his face. He said, "Preacher, their names were on the board this morning. Their names were on the board. And night after night after night in that meeting, with tears, he said their names were on the board." You see, dear friend, the Lord said to the disciple, "Lift up your eyes and look. And look. And if we look, we're going to see something. The fields are white already unto harvest." And the Lord Jesus, when he was way back in Judea, saw a woman that was going to be at that well at a certain time. And he wanted to be there when that woman was there. And the disciples were in town taking care of necessary things in life. But Jesus wanted to be there. Why? Because that woman was going to come. And he wanted to meet that woman. Oh, the Lord Jesus knows all things. And he did know all things. And John chapter 2 and verse 25 tells us he knew all things. And he saw Nathanael under the fig tree, but he knew that woman was going to be there. So he wanted to be. That's why he didn't go to town. He was hungry. He was thirsty. But he saw somebody. We think of the disciples in this passage. Jesus says, "Say not, ye there yet 4 months from come about. Lift up your eyes and look." And the disciples were in town to buy meat. They were there to get the groceries. And when they came back, they marveled that Jesus would talk with a woman like that. They were shocked that Jesus would spend time with that woman. Are we shocked? Are we shocked? I think of preaching in a church. A man across the street from the church had dogs that were barking all the time. Two sweet blonde girls came into the service. Black eyes. I said to those two girls, "What happened to you? Did you fall down your bicycle?" They said, "No. Dad came home yesterday drunk, beat up on Mom, and beat up on us." Think about it. What are we going to do with a fellow like that? I went across the street to talk to him. I found out he was a hunter. And going hunting that week, going out and get those raccoons. And I said, "Could I go with you?" He said, "You want to go hunting with me?" I said, "Yes, I do." And I dressed properly, and we went out with those dogs barking and barking and barking, and I got wet clear up under my armpits. I saw a man that needed help. We got back from that hunting. He came home drunk. Said to his wife, "Get that preacher. Get that preacher." I came to his house and sat on the front steps with him, the street right there. He said, "I can't take any longer. I got to have help." I said, "Sir, I can't help you. But I know someone who can." We got on our knees as the cars went by. And I saw a man, impossible situation, come to know Christ. And I saw the indisputable program of zeroing in on somebody. That's what we need to do. But we're not doing it. We're not doing it. Lift up your eyes and look. I was in Singapore tremendous meeting in Singapore, and two dear ladies were in church every service. And I said, where are your husbands? They said, our husbands do not come. They don't come to church. They're not interested in church. They operate a furniture store. I got on the train, and I'm no different than anybody else. I got on that train, went down there to the furniture store, introduced myself as the preacher. The missionary didn't go with me. Introduced myself. And I said to those two businessmen, could I take you out for lunch? We sat around the table in Singapore. They said to me, have you ever eaten 100-year-old eggs? I said, I don't even know what that's about. I've read about it. But I'll try anything. They brought three eggs on a plat that were black as they could be. They take and bury these eggs in the horse manure and leave them, then dig them up, take the shell off. And I saw three of those eggs. And they said they taste a little better with ginger. Put ginger on them. I sliced those things and ate them. And those businessmen sat there. They couldn't believe it, I guess. But I didn't think they tasted that bad. But I witnessed to them. And I said, would you come to the meeting tonight? And they came. You see, dear friend, lift up your eyes and look. That's what the Lord is talking about. And we're so concerned and we're so involved with material things, if we're not careful, we forget to look around us and lift up our eyes. And sometimes churches are content as long as we can pay the bills, as long as the attendance keeps it up. No, lift up your eyes and look. And here's a dear woman now, a dear, wonderful woman. Oh, listen, she ruined her life and lived in tragedy and the depth of sin and wickedness. But Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw her. She drank of the water. And the disciples were more concerned about eating. And when they came back and said, Master, eat. And Jesus said what? Jesus said in verse number 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. There's something far greater to do than just physical. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And I ask you, dear friends, this morning, this Sunday, what is our meat? What is our meat? If you're a Christian this morning, let me ask you the question. What is a Christian? Think about it. You say it's a person that's born again. True. It's a person that's received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. True. But listen, even beyond that, a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So our meat is to do the will of Him that saved us. That's what it's about. I don't understand a lot of things. But I know one thing. My wife and I each day commit ourselves to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. He's our master. He's our Lord. And we're to follow Him. So whatever happens, and I've said it many times, on the back step of that motorhome, sitting out there, it was wet and slippery, and I slipped and fell off that thing, landed on my side and broke six ribs. So I'm pretty careful this morning about using this arm. But I said, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? I don't know what He's up to. But He knows. He knows. And dear friend, we're a follower of Jesus Christ. He's our master. And here's the disciples more concerned about eating and shocked that Jesus would spend time with that woman. But look at the woman now. Oh, she drank of the water. Oh, drank of the water. And verse number 28 says what? 28, she said the woman then left her water pot. What did she come to the well for? To get water. But she left her water pot. She left her wife and said, I'll get it later. I'll get it later. And she left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, come and see a man that's told me everything I've ever done. Won't you come and see him? And the scripture presents the fact, here's a dear woman, and men are coming to meet the Savior, or to meet the Savior. And this dear woman left her, and I ask you, dear folk, this morning, will you leave your water pot this week? You can always get it later. I know there's certain things you can't change. I know that. You can't change. It's like the man came to me and said, I can't come Monday night because I'm a superintendent of schools. And I understand that. That's a legitimate excuse. But Monday night he walked into the auditorium. I said, what are you doing here? I thought you had a meeting. He said, I called the chairman of the board. Said, we got something important going on at our church. I don't want to miss it. Would it be okay if I send all the reports, and there was a silence on that phone? He said, well, if that's the way you feel about it, fine. He sent all the reports, and that man was in the auditorium to that service because he thought that was important. He left his water pot. Now, I wouldn't recommend that anybody do that. But as a result of that, and I'm a separatist preacher, I had lunch the next day with the Episcopal priest that got saved. And stood up the next Sunday, gave his testimony, I received Christ. Now, why did that take place? Because of me? No. Because a man left his water pot and got serious. That's what we need to do. Oh, dear friend, lift up your eyes and look this morning. And I want you to do that, dear folk, this morning. Just think of somebody you work with, somebody that lives in your community, somebody that you know. Zero in on them. And with tears, pray and ask God to do a miracle. And he'll do it. He'll do it. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. That's the truth. How much time do I have yet, brother? 5 minutes? The last P I want you to see. We started out with the impossible picture and a likely person and an indisputable program. The last P is the inexhaustible power. The power of God. Isn't that wonderful? The power of God. And in verse number 38, he said, I sent you to reap. Thereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you entered into their labors. I sent you to reap. The inexhaustible power of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is just great. The Bible says, the Spirit of God is able to work in a tremendous. If anybody gets saved this week, it won't be because of me, it'll be because of the Lord. The power of God, inexhaustible power of God, reaching down to save souls, reaching down to do work among Christians. Tremendous truth of what God is able to do. He is the God of the impossible. Don't give up. Don't give up. Lift up your eyes and look. And right now, get the seat out of the barn. Lift up your eyes and look and see someone this morning that's hurting. Somebody that needs help. A little phrase that I've tried to use in all of our ministry, and I pastored for 25 years. We need to love people to Calvary. We can jump all over them, and there are times when we need to do it, but we need to love somebody. And love never fails of what God is able to do as we seek Him. That's the truth in this passage. So as you read this passage of Scripture, lift up your eyes and look and see that person, that individual that God wants to save. That's thirsty. That's why they play the rock music. That's why they pull their sleeve back and inject themselves with a drug. That's why they live in an immoral situation. They're thirsty. They're looking for something. And we have this morning what they're looking for. It's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you today. I'm so thankful that a dear lady came to where I was working, a product of a broken home, and a dear lady that loved me to Calvary. And I got saved. Lord, as we begin these meetings this week, help each one of us to lift up our eyes and look and see somebody that's hurting. See somebody that appears to be impossible, but realize our God is greater. He's able to reach those that seem impossible. Give us a love in our heart. Give us a burden in our heart. Give us some tears in our eyes concerning these dear folk, that we might see them won to Christ, like this dear woman was won to the Savior. And we'll praise you and love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.